I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
That priceless plastic moment from The Graduate. Plastics is going to be our word for the next few minutes. I'm joined by the world's livable planet reporter, Carolyn Beeler. We're seeing plastics taking a pretty big hit lately, Carolyn. What's going on?
Marco, there's a growing realization around the world that we're just using so much plastic, it's starting to overrun our environment. It's killing whales because they're eating it. It's blocking drains and creating habitats for mosquitoes. It's breaking apart into tiny little microplastics that work their way into our food and water. In fact, just this week, news emerged that microplastics have been found in the oceans near Antarctica.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're in sort of a watershed moment where governments are starting to pass laws or taxes on plastic bags and other sort of single-use plastic items. So, for example, this week, India announced it would ban single-use plastics. Chile is starting to phase out plastic bags in grocery stores. And even IKEA today announced they were going to stop using single-use plastics. So this is all good news for the environment.
But it also sounds like there's some bad news, too.
Right. So there's a new UN report out this week showing that in the more than 60 countries that have passed these types of laws, taxes or bans on plastic bags, of the countries where there's enough data to analyze how well they're working, only a little more than half of these laws are having a good effect on plastics.
Okay. So in the places where those laws are having an effect, do we know what makes them work or not?
Well, it looks like good enforcement and good cheap alternatives to plastic bags are a key factor. In the places where those bans aren't working, they don't have those. And I can give you a couple of examples. So South Africa passed a ban on regular thin grocery bags back in 2003 and a tax on thicker ones. And people eventually just worked that tax into their food budget. So the plastic bag use didn't go down overall in the long run. On the flip side, recently on the Caribbean island of Antigua, they recently passed a plastic bag ban. But before that, they had this huge outreach campaign and they handed out reusable plastic bags. And that's actually reduced the plastic amount in landfills by 15%.
Wow.
So countries are starting to look around and see sort of what works and what doesn't.
All right, Carolyn, please sit tight, if you would, while we take a look at how this plastics business is playing out in one country, Kenya. We talked about Kenya's plastic bag ban here on the show when it took effect last August. It was the harshest in the world, with a roughly $40,000 penalty for anyone caught selling or using plastic bags. There's not enough data yet to tell empirically how well it's working, but we thought we'd get the perspective on the ground from our BBC colleague, Ferdinand Omondi, in Kenya. So have you noticed a difference on Nairobi streets since this ban on plastic bags took effect?
Actually, around the country in major towns, there was plastic bags everywhere you could look. There was a very poor disposal system in the city. The trash cans used to be quite filled. And the plastic bags were the main method by which Kenyans carry everything from groceries to school bags. And so the streets used to look pretty bad at this time last year. But ever since the ban, you can actually see much cleaner streets, at least no plastic bags around. So certainly a very significant change, and not so much of an eyesore the streets of Nairobi.
That's pretty encouraging. But I know plastic bag producers tried unsuccessfully to sue and stop this ban last summer. How did people react when it actually went into effect?
Initially, it was frustrating for many Kenyans because, as I mentioned, people only knew how to use plastic bags from nearly everything. The woman would go to the market to buy groceries needed plastic bags. The mechanic who went to his workshop carried most of his tools in a heavy plastic bag. Students or pupils would carry their bags to school in plastic bags. People did not know exactly how they would operate without them. And the other thing is that the recyclable bags were about 5-10 times more expensive than the cheapest plastic bags, and this is the kind of money that most of the people who live on less than a dollar a day could not afford. So initially there was some sort of resistance, but when the government showed it meant business, people started slowly adjusting to it. And right now I can tell you there's very little complaint about the use of bags because people are saying, hey, it actually works and we are surviving without it.
Yeah, so when people go to the market, what do they carry with them?
Now, there are recyclable bags, but they are reusable. So a lot of people, you go to the supermarket and now you have to buy this for yourself. Before, the traders would give you the plastic bags for free, but now, since these ones are a bit expensive, you have to buy it and then you keep it at home. Now, the problem with this is that a lot of people forget to carry these recyclable bags when they go to the supermarkets. So it means that every time they go to shop, They have to buy two or three plastic bags to carry the groceries home. And some people, including myself, we have cabinets full of the recyclable bags. It's a bit difficult, but people are managing, and they're largely happy with it.
Yeah, I know that cabinet. We've got one of our own at the house. The thing is, small plastic bags used to be used for basically everything. I mean, you've kind of alluded to that in small markets, from portions of rice to cut up fruit. In South Africa, they jokingly called the plastic bag the national flower because there were so many on the ground. It may be funny, but not to vendors, I would imagine, who want to accommodate their buyers with a bag to take away their stuff. How are the vendors dealing with this?
It's a bit tricky for especially those cut fruit vendors, those who sell small pieces of sugarcane or cut up mangoes and oranges, because it was the plastic bags which are most convenient. So there have been attempts by some of them, especially in the informal areas, to smuggle some of these bags. And indeed, the authorities have been conducting operations in such areas to impound these bags and probably take these people to court. In the more middle-class areas, it is no longer a problem. They have been able to afford the heavier containers, which are still legal, but it's a bit of a cat and mouse, especially in the informal settlements.
It sounds like this ban on plastic bags kind of signifies a permanent change in Kenya. Would you agree with that?
That is true. This is permanent. I do not think there are any signs that Kenya will be going back. The next step for the central government, they announced, was just to try and clean up the rivers and also some of the huge rubbish mounds. But as it stands in Kenya, plastic bags are history.
BBC reporter Ferdinand Omondi there in Nakuru, Kenya. And back to Carolyn Beeler again with our Livable Planet desk. Most of the laws passed around the world, Carolyn, are about plastic bags per se, but that's not the biggest source of plastic litter or even trash, right? So any tips on using less plastic overall?
It's kind of daunting to think about, but I think what's helpful to think about is that roughly half the plastic waste around the world is from packaging. So if you start focusing on that, that can help you tackle a big part of your plastic footprint.
So we all know about bringing our reusable bags to the grocery store now. What else can we do?
Well, again, I think it's helpful to know what are the biggest culprits when it comes to plastic waste. So there's this list of items that are most found in coastal cleanups around the world. Cigarette butts top that list by mass, but then the rest is largely food packaging. Plastic bottles and caps, food wrappers, grocery bags, straws and stirrers, and takeout containers. So if you think about those items and think about how you can bring your own reusable versions of them and try to say no to things you don't need, like maybe a coffee cup lid or a straw or a stirrer, that can get you to start thinking about plastic as something not to take for granted.
The World's Livable Planet reporter, Carolyn Beeler, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Marco.
By the way, if you want a visual of what our plastic consumption is doing to our waters around the globe, we have a video from Indonesia where you can see entire rivers filled with plastic pollution. You can watch that at PRI.org. And that's where we're going to leave things today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios here at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman, back with you all tomorrow.